Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen.
Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I'm bringing something back in the house. Amen. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Look at your neighbor and say, God knows what he's doing. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 4th verse and ending at verse 4. The Word of God now reads, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to talk about this morning pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. In Miracle Temple, we have had this teach on numerous occasions, but God is bringing it back in the house because sometimes we don't recognize strongholds that's wrecked amongst us. A stronghold is an area in your life that you are held in bondage due to your way of thinking. And see, the enemy don't want you to know that area that you held in bondage to, because this is how he's keeping you in bondage. He's keeping you from receiving what God has for you. And if you don't recognize these strongholds, you will not be able to do what God has called you to do. When we look at a stronghold, it's like a fortress. And this fortress is built up in your mind. And how the enemy builds this fortress is based upon your thoughts. This is why the Word of God says that when you think a thing, when you think a thing in your heart, that's what you become. Whatever you think is what you become. So the enemy knows that if he can keep you on that particular thought or that particular thing and have you meditating on that thought instead of doing away with that thought, you're building up a stronghold in your mind, a fortress. In the Bible, it talks about these fortresses that David went into. He went into a stronghold to hide from Saul. So that means that he was in a place that was fortified. And this is why you have these fortified walls in the Bible where nobody can come in, nobody can go out. That means that they're protected. So what the enemy used, he used your thoughts. And as you take these thoughts and don't do away with these thoughts that are not the word or the will of God, he's building that fortress in your mind. And some people got these walls built up where you think you're right when you're wrong. And nobody can tell you otherwise because you're looking at it totally different from the way the word of God is portraying it to you. So we want to deal with these strongholds because I'm seeing in the body of Christ that people are having the same pattern. They're going back. I don't know about you. Sometimes we think we have gotten over a thing, and we dismiss that thing. Sometimes we say we have forgiven a person, and we say, I know I have forgiven that person. But all of a sudden, that thing keep coming up. It keep coming up. It keep coming up. That means that the enemy has built a stronghold of unforgiveness in your mind. And if you don't deal with the root of where that's coming from, then what's happening is he got you in bondage to unforgiveness. And it's time to uproot these things. And the thing is, people don't want to take time to uproot. They want to say, you know, oh, I'm sorry. And then you feel good because somebody told you you were sorry, but you ain't dealt with that root yet. You haven't dealt with what have been planted in you over the years through your way of thinking. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, so does he become. The enemy know the more he can get you to think on negative things, that's what you're going to become. Anybody who keep thinking they're sick, they're going to become sick. because the enemy builds those thoughts up in your mind telling you that you're sick or telling you you have this or you have that instead of you counteracting it with the word of God. For as a man thinketh, thinking means you calculating, you reasoning, you splitting something open. It means that it's always before you. Sometimes you can be in deep thought and somebody will say, what are you thinking about? Where's your mind? And this is why we have to take our thoughts and we have to say that thought is not of God. And we have to get rid of that thought immediately because the enemy is going to use that thought against you or against somebody else. And I'm telling you today, there are some strongholds in this room. And it's time to deal with these strongholds because if you go back to the same pattern all the time, there is a stronghold. Now, the enemy used deceit. When you go back to the beginning in Genesis, you see that they had everything that they needed. They were in paradise, just like we. We are born again. We have everything that we need in our spirit. But the enemy knows that the soul is wide open, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So when he went into the Garden of Eden, he went in there with deception. He went in there with deceit. And what did he do? He used what God told them not to do. He used the word of the Lord, and he turned it around to benefit him. So this is what I'm going to tell you, how the enemy get a stronghold in your mind. He take the word, and he changed the word to make you think this is what God wants you to do. Or that's not, is that really what God said? So what he did when he went to Eve with the word, he turned the word around. He said, is that what God really said? So Eve wasn't paying attention to that tree. But when he started talking about the tree, then Eve began to set her eyes upon something that she knew that she could not eat from. And this is why that's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and a pride of life. The enemy know if I can get you to lust, if I can get you to have a desire, if I can get you to have a craving for something, he said, then I can get you to, you know, meditate on that thing, and eventually you're going to become what you've been thinking about. A person just don't become a liar overnight. See, some people are taught to lie. They're taught to manipulate. They're taught to get over in a certain way, and they do it so long, it becomes so natural, they're thinking that it's okay. But it's not okay, and this is why you have to know the truth in order to be set free. Some people say, I know the truth, but you're still in bondage. You're still doing the same thing, and then you say, well, I know I got to do better, and I'm getting better. Getting better ain't better. Understand what I'm saying? After 20 years, you should have come out of that stronghold. You shouldn't be in the same place this year that you were in last year if you were working on that place. See, the problem is we want to hoop, we want to holler, we want to teach, we want to preach, but we don't want to deal with the root. And it's time to deal with the root. It's time to quit telling people have faith in God. When you yourself has got a root of doubt in you, you got a root of bitterness in you, you telling people to do something that at the time you're doing it because it's money in your house. But when the money ain't in your house, you're going back to the same pattern of I don't have. Why is that? Because there's a stronghold there. The enemy have built up a wall of deceit. He have built up a wall of deception. And it's time for us, y'all, to tear these walls down if we're going to be effective in the body of Christ. So when the Lord was showing me this, God began to tell me it's strongholds all around us, and sometimes we don't recognize them because we think, I got over that thing. But how many know it pops back up? And if it's popping back up, it's popping back up for a reason. See, the Lord will show you. That's why you ain't got time to be worrying about nobody else. If you deal with you, you ain't got time to be dictating somebody else's life and what they should do or what they could have done. You need to deal with you. And while you're dealing with you, God will help you to deal with others. But if you can't deal with what's going on in your life, how can you help somebody deal with what's going on in theirs? So it's time to uproot these strongholds. It's time to quit acting like hypocrites in church. That's a play actor. There's somebody that come to church and act like they got it going on, act like they know the Lord so good. Am I saying that you don't know the Lord? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you keep going back to the same pattern, the same way of doing things, there's a stronghold in your as we look at how the enemy used the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The Bible says that when Eve saw that tree, when she saw how good and how pleasant that tree looked unto her eyes, she began to go after what she saw. And I'll give you an example of lusting after things, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Did y'all know gluttony? We talked about this before, is a sin. Some people look at their food and they crave it. They desire it. It's like they have an intimacy with their plate. That should let you know if you're doing that over and over again, gluttony is there. The enemy got you in bondage to gluttony because God gives you food to eat, but he don't give you food to lust over. To act like it's a God, to act like, oh, I'm going to tear you up. Oh, you look so, you smell good too. I just taste you and I ain't even cut you with a knife yet. Something's wrong with that picture. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit, what's wrong with me? I shouldn't be acting this way because, and drooling at the mouth. I shouldn't be acting this way over a plate of food. It ain't like I'm over there in Africa and don't have it. So that's when you got to stop and think and say, something is wrong with this picture. Hello? Something is wrong with this picture. I shouldn't be having a craving like this. See, some of y'all thinking, what that got to do with a stronghold? It's there. It's there. The enemy has built that up in your mind. How do you know? Because every time you get ready to eat, you feel this strong desire. This strong craving of, ooh, I can't wait to get to you. That's when you know something is not right. So it's time to tear down these strongholds. And let me tell you something, y'all. It takes time. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes persistence. A stronghold is not built overnight. It's built through years. See, what you have to know is that Satan was your father before you got saved. He's the God of this world. So what he did, he built up things in your mind. He gave you a certain way of thinking and a certain way of doing things. So after you got born again, your spirit is what became new. Your spirit was reborn. It was renewed. But your soul did not get born again. So the enemy knew, I still got something on you. I still got some things that I can use that I have put in you like a computer. So you're thinking that you're okay. Yeah, your spirit is okay, but you're not going to be able to live that life, that Zoe life, more abundantly because you're going to keep going back to where you were. And that represents a stronghold. So this is what God was showing me. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And we're going to see a lot of strongholds here. And who are we dealing with? We're dealing with Saul. And we're going to look at verse 6. And I'm going to read on down. 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered. That answer means they were singing one to another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So look at this. Y'all know Saul was the king and David is the one that defeated Goliath. So Saul put David over the men of war. So after he had defeated Goliath, he came back, and the women began to sing. They began to sing on King Saul's behalf and on David's behalf. But the next verse said, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. That means that he was angry, and the saying was evil in his sight. Now let's talk about the root of this. Why was Saul angry? Saul, the one that put David in place. He put David in position. He made David over the men of war. So what made Saul so angry? What made him so angry was Saul was the king. and they were giving praises unto David. And he felt like he should have gotten more praise than David because he's looking at his kingship. So Saul became rejected. And that's a stronghold. A stronghold rejection make you feel unneeded. It make you feel unwanted. It make you feel abandoned. It makes you feel like nobody wants you anymore. This is what a stronghold of rejection would do. So he felt rejected. Now, Saul didn't deal with this rejection because if he had dealt with it, he would have known who he was, and then anger would not have come. So we have to understand that when we deal with rejection, rejection is the thing that will set you in a place of anger. It will set you in a place of jealousy. It will set you in a place of trying to put somebody down so you can be on the top. So rejection is in the house. And how do you recognize rejection? Just like Saul, when someone starts talking about someone else, and all of a sudden you begin to get stirred on the inside because they're saying about what this person accomplished or what this person done, you know at that moment something ain't right. Why should I feel this way because they're talking about Sister Deborah this way? Where's this feeling come from? See, that's when the Holy Spirit kicks in and lets you know something is in you that the enemy is using. So immediately, if you don't deal with that and you just let it pass by, it's growing and it's getting stronger and stronger. And then every time somebody talk about somebody except you, then you feel it even the more. And all of a sudden, you lash out and say, that person can't do all that. I can do that. Why would you say that? Why would you speak harshly against that person? And you're a Christian. It's because there's a root of something that's lying there that the enemy is using, and you don't want that person to be seen. You want to be seen. So we have to deal with these things. Come on, you know you feel it. You know when somebody is telling how good a person is doing in an area, and all of a sudden you become angry because you think you're better than that person. Or if somebody, you standing beside a person, and a person said, oh, I like what you got on, and you standing there, and in your mind, you saying, what's wrong with what I got on? Why you ain't say nothing about me? And then you look at the person and say, yeah, I like that too. You lying. So there go another route. Because, see, you trying to cover up what's already there. You didn't tell me how good I look. What's wrong with what I have on? That's a person that has become rejected. Because they want to be accepted. Remember we talked about Leah, see, rejection, say, hear me, see me, be attached to me. I want to be seen. I want to stand out. And if I cannot stand out because of this person, I'm going to belittle this person so you will see me and you won't see them. That's what rejection does. It want to be seen, it want to be heard, it want to be attached to, and rejection don't care who it hurts. Rejection want to have its way, even in the body of Christ. And see, King Saul, he was the king. David was up under his command. But when David started getting the praise, he was very angry because he said, I'm the king. So this is what's happening in the house of God. When you're having leaders and you got followers up under those leaders, and that leader is thinking that the one that's up under them is getting more recognition than they are, they're going to find something to belittle the ones that's up under them so they can look good. See, it's too much competition in the church. And the reason why it's so much competition, because we're not dealing with the root of the matter. We're letting it pass by instead of identifying this is why this is here. So it's time to identify why you do what you do. Don't just say that, well, you know what? I didn't mean to do that. I don't know why I'm doing that. But find out why you did what you did. Don't just let it pass by. So he was very angry because he was getting more praise. David was getting more praise. And it said that it became evil in his eyes. So see how the enemy was working on him. We'll go back to other people in the Bible that was rejected. Look at Cain and Abel. Both of them gave God an offering, but Cain's offering was rejected. What happened to Cain? Cain became very angry. His countenance fell. Have you ever talked to a person and you begin to tell them about the accomplishments of somebody else and all of a sudden their appearance changed? That's rejection. That's a person getting angry because they're feeling like I'm not being accepted like they are. So they're very hurt, so they're going to come out against that person. Didn't Cain come against his own brother Abel? Why? Because it was not dealt with. That's why God said, Cain, sin lies at the door and wait for you. But you can master sin. And this is what the Lord is saying in here today. Y'all, thank God you have the Holy Spirit. This is why it's so important when you get born again, when you accept Jesus, you have the 9 fruit of the Spirit. You have that, but then you have the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Why did he give you the 9 gifts of the Spirit, which comes from the power of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Because there's discerning of spirits in that gift, in those gifts. Why? Because we need to be able to discern what's good and what's bad. We need to be able to discern what's going on around us. Why? Because God said, I want you to take care of that. Because I have given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means can harm you. So God said, I want you to deal with these issues. Quit trying to cover these issues up. Quit trying to say my mom and daddy was like that and that's how I have to be. No, those can be generational strongholds. But you don't have to deal with what your mom and daddy dealt with. Just because they didn't deal with it don't mean that you should not deal with it. It means that you should say, this stops here. It stops right now. I'm not going through this because I have a different bloodline. God has given me authority. He's given me right over this area of my life. So we look at Cain and Abel. Same thing, Cain was rejected. But even in rejection, y'all, you feel inadequate. You feel abandoned. And I'm going to tell you how some people don't move forward in the ministry that God has given you. Because when you feel like you rejected, you feel like you're not needed, you feel like you're unwanted, this is what happened. The devil make you feel inadequate, like you can't accomplish anything. So you hold back on certain things because the fear comes in, because you feel like people are going to put me down if I go forth with this. I'll use one, which was Moses. Y'all know Moses' mother and father had to give him up. And we know that the reason why they gave him up, because God had a destiny for his life. He was going to be the deliverer. But how many know that when a child has to leave their home, there's some abandonment there. There's some sense of being inadequate, like you can't accomplish anything. When you look at Moses' life, when he stood before God and God was going to send him to Egypt, Moses had all kind of excuses. This is how I know that Moses was going through that rejection and that abandonment, because he was telling him, he said, who do I say that I am? Who am I that you shall send me to them? They won't believe me. They won't hear me. I'm slow of speech. So he was pointing out all the things that he thought that he could not do. He felt inadequate. So if you ever talk to a person and they're always saying what they can't do, nobody will hear me. They won't believe me. Who am I that you should send me? You know, or they say, I got this disability. There is rejection there. They're feeling rejected. They feel like they cannot accomplish what they need to accomplish. We look even in the Word of God, when we look at, who was it, Gideon. When the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and told him he was a mighty man of valor, and he began to say his family was the least that should go, you know, the smallest family, the least that should be able to do this. He was seeing his inadequacy. So God is saying, when you look at yourself as being inadequate, you're not going to move forward on the things that God have entrusted you with. And that's why you got to deal with rejection. Rejection is the root, but it have little nymphs up under it that helps you to identify that it is the stronghold of rejection. If you felt like you've been rejected in your family, rejection comes through the womb. What that means is, if a mother is carrying a child and they're hoping that it's a boy, but it's a girl, and they're saying, I don't want a girl, I want a boy. That baby is hearing what's being said in that womb. So that baby comes out feeling rejected, and this is how people end up being homosexuals, because they got rejected. You know, so I got an email from a person that wanted me to pray over his wife. They were coming together. They said that we want a boy, but, we saw the ultrasound, and they said it's a girl, so we want you to pray with us that it's a boy. See, they were already rejecting what was there. So that baby is going to come out feeling rejected, feeling like they wasn't needed or feeling like they wasn't wanted. And if you're dealing with rejection, you have to go way back and say, didn't my mother and father want me, even when I was in the womb? Or when a person get pregnant and they said it happened accidentally, I don't even want this baby. So all through the pregnancy, they're saying, I don't want this baby. This should not have happened. It's messing up my life. That baby is hearing that. So when that baby come out, that baby is going to be full of fear. That baby is going to be full of rejection. That baby is going to be full of feeling inadequate, like they can never achieve anything. Why? Because it started in the womb. So this is why we have to be so careful at the words that we speak over our children. We should be telling them, you shall make it. You shall succeed in every area. And that's why when the baby's in your womb, you begin to speak the word of life over that baby right there in that womb. You begin to let that baby know, you shall prosper, you shall have good success, you shall be full of wisdom, you shall be whom God say that you shall be. We need to speak words of life even in our womb. That way when that baby come out, that baby will know, I am successful. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. And when we begin to speak those things, you will see that in your child. You do not speak death, you speak life. So rejection want to be seen. It want to be heard. It want to be attached to. And like I said, a rejected person will put down somebody else. They will make people look at somebody else as being the bad guy, as being the one that's wrong and they always right. They will always put people down because they want to be seen. They want to be heard. Come on, we have rejection when it comes to cooking. Let several people cook. And somebody said, oh, this right here is good. Who made this right here? And then you're looking like, oh, she made it. What's wrong with you? Just because somebody say that dish is good and yours wasn't, and then we'll sit up there and say, well, it needed some more salt. It needed some. It was just missing something. They should have put, I would have done it like this. I would have put more of this in there. I would have put more of that in there. That don't taste like mine. What did that got to do with that person? Everybody cooks differently. Everybody looks differently. But that don't mean you put them down because you want accolades. Because you want to be seen, you want to be heard, or, see, you want to be attached to. People don't want nobody to look better than what they look, because when they enter the room, they want to shine. They want to, oh, look, I'm here. But then if they look at the underdog that's behind you, you act like that you could just drop dead because you wasn't sane no more. Your year of being sane is over. See, this is what God is saying. Your year of being sane is over. The one that they should see is his glory, not you. He should be the one shining, and if you still shining, that means you want to be seen, you want to be heard, you want to be attached to, and a rejection need to be uprooted. Anytime you're waiting on somebody to tell you how good you look, then you're not satisfied with you. Because nobody should have to tell you how good you look in Jesus. Because God can take the ugliest person and make them look better than anybody. Why? Because they're trusting more in him than they're trusting in themselves. See, rejection, want to be seen, want to be heard, want to be attached to. This is how Saul was. And if we don't deal with it, it would overtake us, and we think this is a way of being normal. See, we can't even be raising our kids to make them think they're better than anybody else.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of Heidi, you may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Burgall, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.